Around the age of 9 is when I started struggling with my sexual identity and just kind of questioning what good and right and healthy relationships with women and with other men look like. I just remember knowing that it was not right and knowing that it was wrong, but not understanding why, kind of pushing that underneath the surface. I acted out in other ways, partying on the weekends and going to church on Sunday, and just kind of completing that cycle week in and week out. And so whatever I could use to mask what was going on in my heart, I was going to do it. And so I started drinking heavily. I met another woman who was just as broken and just as a dark season as I was. And so pretty soon after that, I entered into a same-sex relationship, and we were together for about 2 years. I definitely felt distant from the Lord. Even during those 2 years, I was still going to church every week. But even then, it just felt very empty. It was just one regular week, one regular Sunday, that I was sitting in church at the very back, ready to make my exit. And the pastor said, "The greatest problem is not our moral failure, but rather a failure to honor the Lord." In that moment, I walked to the back to receive prayer. I met a woman to pray with and said, "I'm feeling distant from the Lord and just wanting to be close to Him again. How do I do that?" And so this woman just placed her hand on my shoulder and said, "I feel like there's something that the Lord wants you to share with me." At that moment, I just broke down. The Holy Spirit drew me to confession. I shared everything, the relationship that I was in, just the guilt and the shame that I had been feeling for so many years. Really expecting her to be shocked or expecting her to not know what to do. She said, "Praise the Lord," and it just blew my mind. That night, I ended the relationship, and that's when the Lord first started teaching me about community, about how to let people into your life, let people into the junk and expose it and bring all of it into the light. And they began to show me what it looked like to live in healthy relationships. It was just life-changing. I needed them to speak truth into my life when I couldn't do it for myself. And I was afraid to experience that. And now I just can't get enough of it.
Amen. That's right. Good morning, church. First of all, we have kiddos that can go to class. I remembered this time. So right here in the back corner, let's get our kids and go. If not, buckle up. We're going to share in God's word today. It's been a challenging week. Anytime we teach, I was kind of laughing with Pastor Matt. You know, he said, "It happens to me every week." You know, anytime we teach, the enemy comes and he distracts and he comes and tries to get us jammed up, and we're not worthy. And guess what? We're not. That's the cool part. But God changed us. God made a way for us. It's kind of cool we get to do a baptism today. I forgot that we were doing that, which is kind of cool. But, you know, today we're talking about confession. So, I'm going to back up for a second. My name is Noel Moat. I serve here as one of the elders. We have a great group of men that love you guys, and I want you to know that. The things that we do, the challenges that we face, are not easy. There's nothing easy about that. When you look somebody square in the face and say, "Hey, man, what you're doing is wrong," or "How can I pray for you?" And like our video, the girl's like, "Hey, I'm living this life of sin." Then what do? Okay? I get the task of teaching. It's actually a blessing. It's a challenge because, yes, I like to talk, but in the same thing, I have some men that sit around me that are very skilled in the word. And you always worry, did I say that right? Did I think that right? Did they hear me think it? You know, the things the enemy imposes upon us. We've been going through the spiritual disciplines of the Christian life, of being a Christian. We've heard lots of things and ways in which that, in the ways that we can have a greater spiritual life and a walk in Christ. Though all not habits are positive, these ones are. Okay? They will help us to try to live and walk closer to the Lord. The disciplines we've talked about. We had meditation. What are we thinking? What are we dwelling on? Philippians 4:8. Okay, think on these things, whatever is holy, whatever is just. Solitude, simplicity, prayer, fasting. How do we do it? You know, when we get there, how do we do it? James 4:7, submit yourselves to God. Matthew 16:24, deny yourself. We had study. Study. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, to show ourselves approved, to be diligent in the word. We have to do our part. We can't be like a city worker and lean on a shovel and pray for a hole. Right? Doesn't work. If we want something to change in our lives, we have to change. We have to change the things that we're doing. We have to get up out of bed, put our phones away, put our electronics away, get alone with God and talk to him. We had worship. Joshua 24. Who will you serve? You know, only God can we serve. We try serving ourselves. In our video, the young lady, she talked about serving herself. Her needs, her wants. And guess what? It didn't work very well for her. We had submission. James 4:7. Submit yourself unto God. As Reese said, snap, tap, or nap. Submission is not easy. It's yielding to the will of somebody else, the will of the Father. He's the potter. We're the clay, right? Not that clay, but, you know, we're the clay. He molds us. He makes us. And today we're on confession. We're going to be coming out of 1 John 1:9. Open your Bibles with me, please. If you don't have one, do it electronic. Christy, if I see you on your phone over there texting people, I will call you out. No Facebook. No, sorry. We're going to pray. Father in heaven, your love is amazing. You have given us the air that we breathe, the opportunities that we have right now. You have put tasks before us that we may glorify you and honor you. Lord, I pray that we would be children submitted unto you, that we would yield our life, the reign and the control over the things that we want to allow you to get us where you want us. As we serve you, may your love abound in the lives of those around us. Lord, let us be fathers, husbands, wives, servants unto you. May all we do bring you glory and honor. Okay. Amen. So, in our video, we watched the young lady. She told about her sin. Anybody in here not sin? No, me neither. We look at things and we think, I thank thee, O God, I'm not like other men. Right? I mean, you know, you see someone that's just really bad, you're like, man, I hope I'm not going to be like that. Her sin is not original. Her sin is no different than yours. The sin of apathy, the sin of laziness, the sin of, hey, I told you to do something, and you didn't do it. James tells us, you know, that that he who knows what to do and chooses not to, it is sin. The young lady finds freedom in her repentance, in her surrender. We think sometimes that, well, there's degrees of sin. You know, I'm not a pedophile. I'm not an adulterer. I'm lazy. I'm a gossip. I'm not as bad as those people. But you know what? In God, I don't think there's a degree of sin. It's either black or white. He said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, right? So I don't get to compare myself to Martin or Reese or Pastor Matt. You know, it doesn't work that way. I either have to come boldly before Christ and say, I'm as good as you are, which I'm not. God forbid. Okay? Sin is a struggle. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will make you pay more than you want to pay. And it is no respecter of persons. I think about when Jesus was tempted in the desert, that Jesus finally rebuked Satan and said, "Get away from me, Satan. I've had all the temptation I'm going to take. Love the Lord your God and nobody else. I will serve my Father." And Satan leaves. And he goes over and he kind of hides behind the corner over there. And he's sitting there looking, going, "I'm going to wait and watch. I'm going to see." And it says, he waited for a more opportune time to return. That's what Satan does. So he may leave for a minute. He may turn his back away and walk away, but he's right there. He's right there looking, going, "Yeah, I'm going to see. I'll know when you give it up. I'll know when you're vulnerable." We get tired. We get weary. We live in a world where the flesh dominates. We try to fill our lives with everything but God. Electronics, sports, a job, our spouse, our children. They're all there. But only God, if we will serve Him, honor Him, and bring Him glory, if we will surrender our lives to Him, then truly we will have freedom. In Romans 3:23, it says, Kyle has sinned. No, it says all have sinned. We want to pick on whoever that person is. Nobody says, "Well, I sinned." And it's kind of funny, in our lives today, it seems like most of us don't sin. We just struggle. "How are you, brother?" "I'm struggling." "Well, no, you're sinning. That's the hard part." And that's one of those things in our lives, you know. We have to have people around us. This young lady in the video, she came back and she's like, "The community, the people, I knew that I couldn't do it alone." If we look at our little sign there, it says, number one, I can't do life alone. If you take a fire and you separate the coals, what happens? It goes out. That's what happens to us. You know, you think about Peter. Whenever Jesus was taken out of the Garden of Gethsemane, what does it say about Peter? He followed Jesus, right? Did he stay close? No. He followed at a distance. And I think that's where we get jammed up. We follow God at a distance. Just enough, but not enough to be identified, or not enough to be persecuted. When the stoning in the streets comes for being a Christian, who's going to line up? "Yeah, pick me, man, take me." No. We're all like, "It's going to hurt. I don't want to hurt. Nobody likes pain." I heard of a men's Bible study group one time. These men, they'd been meeting together. They'd been talking. They'd been sharing their lives. And finally, after many weeks to getting together, they're like, "Okay, tell me what's going on." And one guy, he's like, "Dude, my struggles." One man claimed he was an adulterer. He'd been unfaithful to his wife, to his family. Another claimed that he was addicted to drugs. Yet another person claimed he had once killed someone. The last guy to share, he said, he wasn't so bad like the rest of them. He was nothing but a gossip. It's the kind of people you want around you, don't you? That'll talk about you, tell about you. You know, I've heard it said, we as Baptists, we like to share gossip and prayer requests. Pray for brother whoever. We'll pick on Kyle today. Yeah, pray for brother Kyle because he's in some horrible whatever. We never put ourselves at the top of the list. You know, unfortunately, we are a broken, black-hearted sinner. Saved by God's grace. That is the only thing we got going for us. God's grace. Because on our own, in ourselves, we got nothing. We didn't get to come to the cross and say, "Man, I got all this, God." And he's like, "What? What do you got? I can't die on the cross." "I could, but I'm sure not going to pay for my sin that way. You know, we could nail me to a cross and I would just die. But you know what? Because Jesus went to the cross, I can have life. And not just life, but life everlasting. I can have an abundant life. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. I mean, I don't know about you guys. Pastor Matt, when you became a Christian, did life get easy for you? Yeah? It got really challenging. All of a sudden, everything that we thought was gone just came beating on our door. The enemy turned up the heat. We have to get to the point where we can let our guard down, to look one another in the face and say, brother, I'm sinning. I need help. I'm in the fire. Can you put some water on it? Can you stand with me? I think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, whenever he came back after talking to, he told the disciples, watch and pray. And he goes off by himself and he's praying and it's really hard for him and struggling. All of a sudden he comes back and all the boys are asleep. It's like being in the military. You got your watchman, it's sleeping. That doesn't go over very well. We got the one guy that's supposed to be keeping an eye on things, and he's sleeping. So, God tells us, watch and pray. So, in 1 John, it says, if we confess our sins, he, being God, is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, in verse 10, he says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and that the truth is not in us. Anybody up for that? No, sin is in us. Webster's Dictionary says that a statement of what is confessed, such as an oral acknowledgement of guilt or a formal statement of religious beliefs, the act of telling something that makes you embarrassed or ashamed. Okay? So that's what confession is. I like to think of it as if we, in 1 John, we agree with God about our condition, seeking his healing on his terms and not on our own. When we confess, we're like, yep, I blew it. I'm broken. I can't do it on my own. I need your help. Only through you, God, will I get here. We go back to submission. Again, I think about what Reese said. Tap, snap, or nap. You can do it any way you want it. You can do it easy, which is surrender, which is hard, but it's easier than getting broken or being put out. God made an easy way for us. Well, I guess it was kind of easy. But the greatest act of love, by dying on a cross, he surrendered for us and made a way that we could be right with him. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10:9. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth confesses and is saved. Okay? Believing in God is not enough. The devil believes. I think about many times in the scripture when they're like, we know who you are. What are you here for, Jesus? Are you here to persecute us before our time? The whole time. They knew. They knew what's coming. But they don't believe in God. They don't surrender to God. They don't serve God. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, it says, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces his sin finds mercy. And I think, as I look around this room, we're all sinners. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. We need God's mercy in our lives. There's nothing easy there. It doesn't matter what your name is, what your position in this life is, what your job was. Doesn't matter. The fact is, we have to surrender. We don't get in because of a last name. Well, you know, Pastor Matt's kids, they're all sellers. They're all Christians, right? No, that doesn't make them a Christian. Only loving Jesus makes them a Christian. That's the only thing that works, is loving Jesus. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, if you confess your sins, confess your sins to one another, that you may be healed, and that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Okay? You want healing? You want things to be better? Surrender. Get to work. Let God work. In chapter 38 of Psalms, David says, Lord, I wait for you. You will answer, my God. For I said, do not let them gloat or exalt themselves over me when my feet slip. For I am about to fall. My pain is ever with me. I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by my sin. Many have become enemies without cause, who hate me without reason, are numerous, those who repay my good with evil. They lodge accusations against me. Though I only seek to do what is good, Lord, do not forsake me. Do not be far from me. God, come quickly and help me, Lord, my Savior. David, praying, struggling. David was a man after God's own heart. But David was broken, right? Right? David was broken? He was. He was a murderer, an adulterer, a sinner at best. But you know, in our life, that's each of us. Oh no, we may not have committed murder, but you know, I think about people, the way they drive in our lovely city. I was in Albuquerque Friday, and this little white Honda Pilot comes up behind me, and they're just all over the road, in and out, and just bearing down on me, and I'm like, there's nowhere to go. So finally, they whip around me, and as they whip around me, I look on the back of the car, and on the back of the car, there's these big white words that says, life is better with Jesus. I'm like, wow, what a great example we are. So here I am being judgmental to this person. We talk about the confession. It's easy to judge that person. But when I'm a little slack in my reading or my studying or my time alone with the Lord or I'm a little harsh with my bride or one of my children, that's sin too, right? We don't get up and confess those, do we? David's sin troubled him. Does yours? When we sin, does yours? I find that funny. It's a hard question. I think one of the problems in our life, in our world, is when we can do the horrible, heinous things and have no remorse or no recollection. I think about Samson. When his hair was finally cut, it said, Samson had no idea the Lord had departed from him. That kind of hurts, doesn't it? In our lives, when we're sinful, when we choose to lavish our sin, and God steps back and he's like, you're on your own. You sure you want to do this? Your sin and my sin troubled God so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross. The greatest ransom ever paid for somebody who may or may not accept him. He knew. You know, I think about whenever Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss in the garden. He planned it, you know. He's like, hey, the guy I kiss, that's the guy, y'all get him. So, that's a betrayal. That's a pretty harsh betrayal. We think of those people that love you, that they would never do that. But you know, we do it to God all the time. Would you allow your child to die for somebody else? Maybe. If you really like that person. Or you really disliked your child. I'd be happy to send them back. No. God loved Jesus, and Jesus loved us so much. He paid the way. He's like, man, there's no returns. That's my kid. He paid the price for people who were not good people. But they were people who would betray him. And he did it with love. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God knew all about us. And yet he paid the greatest ransom that we would be saved from the sin and the ways of this world. I find it funny that, but God. God did it. Not me. But God. God paid the way. Not me. Not you. God. If you want change in your life, God. You know, we can be like that city worker. We can lean on that shovel and pray for a hole. We can be like, hey, God, I've got this horrible thing in my life. And we can do nothing. And it's like that proverb of, you know, doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. The definition of insanity. Are we insane? Are we surrendered? Are we willing to surrender? The statement by God makes a way of hope and makes me realize it was not my doing, but it was the great work on the cross. What Jesus did for me. Okay? Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't think in this life we will ever be sinless while we're breathing. However, we should sin less. I think about Paul at the beginning of his life. He was the Pharisee among Pharisees. He was like right up there at the top, you know. But yet at the end of his life, he's like, I'm the chief of sinners. Did he sin more? No. He just realized there was more sin. And in our lives, I think we have to constantly go before him and turn on the microscope of the Lord and his love and let him look and go, that's sin. We need to get rid of that. We need to fix that. We need to get more to him. There's junk there, guys, in each of our lives. God's word causes us to desire to live better. For him to help others know him in the hope to which each of us is called. Right? Should be. We need connection with others. We can't do it on our own. We need people that will pray for us, that will encourage us, that will stand toe to toe and say, are you sure that's what you want? I've had people in my life that said, God wants me happy. I think that's like 1 Thessalonians, somewhere in there. But it's not. God doesn't want me happy. He wants me holy. And, you know, I see people in their lives, you know, Kyle and Shannon, they're going to get married, they're engaged, and, you know, I want you to know, Marriage is not to make you happy. It is to make you holy. And that's a scary thought because it gets challenging. When we're faced with, you know, the scripture telling us, if one part of your body causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. Any takers? Pick me. Dig it out. I got my pocket knife. We'll just dig that eyeball right out. Okay. You know, I mean, nobody wants to surrender their own body, per se. But you know what? We have to die to ourselves. Knowing and realizing that one day heaven will come and we will be with God to part no more. We will no longer have the struggles of this flesh and this life. I long for that day. Do you? Yeah, I do. I get up some mornings and I got those extra aches and pains and I realize, man, I probably shouldn't have carried all those bundles of sheetrock or whatever dumb things I did when I was a kid. One of my kids once decided they were going to go out and kick the wall. They got mad. Kick the wall, a block wall, with their knee. And they got a limp today. It kind of hurts. I wonder why. We do that all the time with God. God, I want change. We go bang our head on the wall. That's all we do. Jeremy Camp sings a song, how the day will come when we will leave this life, when we will no longer struggle with sin, we will no longer suffer, but we will be in the presence of God Almighty to leave no more. Maylee's fixing to go to college. You know, she's leaving her mom and dad's house. You know, there'll be a day when we'll all be together forever. And that'll be cool. I long for that time. Do you know Jesus? Do you? If you don't, come know him. Heck, we can baptize you today. Ron can baptize an extra today. You know, if you don't know Jesus, you need to. The greatest thing I ever did in my life was surrender to Christ. It was a night and day change in my world. The hatred I had for people became a love for people and a care. Because there's some you're like, I don't care. But God cared. And it's funny how we do it. We're going to finish up here. And I want you to know, if you know Jesus, praise God. Okay? If you have a group of people that encourage you and love on you and look after you, praise God. Okay? If you don't, man, we got people here that care. We have connection groups all week long. Okay? We have people that will stand with you and pray with you. We got men's groups. We got a bunch of ladies that get together and meet, you know, that just kind of help get us through tomorrow. Kyle, you guys want to? Are we going to do the baptism first, aren't we? I'm going to pray. And as we do this baptism, Ron gets to baptize his mother. What an awesome, cool thing. I got to baptize my kids up in the Hamas Mountains, in the waterfalls. And there was actually a little bit of water there, unlike our Rio Grande now. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask Ron to come on up with his mother. And we'll get this part done. While they're doing that, like I said, I'm going to pray. And if you don't know Jesus, let's know him. If you haven't surrendered, let's surrender. I'll sit down here. You know, Pastor Matt jumps down. He's younger than I am, but I'm going to go over there and just stand. No jumping. So, Father in heaven, as we come to you, Lord, as we get the opportunity to see one of your children to be baptized, as the surrender comes, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be aligned with you, that our minds would long for you. Father, I ask that your love and would permeate our hearts. Lord, that we would not go away as we came, but we would be changed. In your love, we pray. Amen.